This morning is going to be a peculiar morning. We actually don't have just one, but three questions to work through. I was a little hesitant to do that, but when I listened to Nathan's podcast of this catechism question and section, I realized he did the same thing. So we're in good company. But together we'll make these quick and brief connections. Question three of the Heidelberg Catechism reads, how do you come to know your misery? Misery. We saw this idea of misery in our last time together, but this is the misery of our state and position before God as fallen men. We are sinners by nature, born unrighteous, each of us inheriting the sin nature from the first man, Adam. But not only do we inherit that sin nature, we ourselves walk in and practice sin by our own volition. And for this, we fallen men and women will stand before holy God and be judged according to that sin and our unbelief. This truly is a miserable state to be in. But what makes it even more miserable is that we can't fully see it. We can't fully understand it. We don't want to see it. As unregenerate haters of God, it is in our nature to deny our sin, to suppress our sin. Therefore, we suppress the reality of our separation from God and the judgment that is to come. We don't want to think about that. So knowing this totally depraved state of man, knowing this misery, the Heidelberg asks, how do you come to know your misery? You, this morning, perhaps hearing this for the first time, brothers and sisters in Christ, unbelievers perhaps in here, women, children, adults, whoever, you need to know the answer to this question. How can you know your misery if you yourself deny it and suppress it? God's word tells us in Romans 7, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. How do you come to know your misery? The Catechism answers, the law of God tells me. It's the law of God that shows us the true lowliness of our estate. It's the holy law of God that shines a light on the darkness of our hearts in sin and unbelief. When God's law comes into contact with you, a sinner, it provokes your unholy nature, and more sin is produced and provoked as the holiness of God is more and more revealed to your wicked heart. The law condemns us in our estate. We come to see our misery through it, and in one sense, the law seems to increase the reality of that misery. So what does God's law say? If we're going to sum it up, what's the standard? If it's a law, it presents an expectation. So what is it? What does God's law require of us? The Catechism answers in question four. Christ teaches us this in summary in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What does God's law require of us? In other words, absolute and utter perfection. Any micro failure at either of these two listed here, if for one second you do not love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your mind, with all your soul, you are in violation of God's holy word. If you do not love the neighbor beside you this morning, in this way, as this text from our Lord describes, you have violated God's command. Even just one act of hatred toward God or your neighbor is enough to send you to hell. Why? Because that's how holy God is. And that's revealed through the law. Jesus says, and on these two commandments, all the law and the prophets hang. This is the hinge. Failure here, And that misery that we've talked about begins to look more and more like condemnation. You must keep the law of God perfectly. But before you get excited and prideful and say, okay, let's keep the law. We can do it. We'll earn our way back to right standing with God. Stop. Don't do that. Go back to that misery. In our pride, we don't want to recognize this. We suppress this. We don't want to admit our unholy stature before a holy God. We do not want responsibility. So we say, okay, we'll just go and earn it. We want to live our lives just good enough and to not be bothered. We truly are in the most miserable of states. And that's exactly what the Catechism points to in question 5. Can you live up to all this perfectly? The answer? No. I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. I'm without hope. Each of you, you are without hope. That's the point of the law. To show you that a holy God must be treated as holy and that you, a sinner, cannot earn your way to heaven. So is that the end? No hope? Is this it? Something has to happen. Someone has to come. Someone has to put on humanity, has to keep the law perfectly, has to submit to the Father's will, even in the face of horrendous persecution, has to be perfect, yet slain on a cross like a criminal. Someone has to bear your unworthiness and sins before God the Father. Someone has to impute His righteousness on your account. Someone has to break the chains of your sin on your behalf. Someone has to be raised in power for your glorification. Someone has to ascend back to the right hand of the Father so that that same person can send His Spirit to you. That Spirit that regenerates your miserable, wicked heart and shows you the truth of the gospel and convicts you of your sin and enables you to believe in that same someone who is the only hope you can ever have. And by God's grace, that someone has come, and His name is Jesus Christ. So let me put it for you plainly. You come to see your sin and misery by the law of God, and the standard of that law is perfection, to which we will never be able to attain. There are two outcomes, but only one hope. So will you this morning repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope you have? Will you turn from your sin? Will you stop trying to earn your way to heaven? Will you hear His plea to take up your cross and follow Him, the one who kept the law?